It's Sunday, November the 15th, 2015. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley and Shelley Fryer, narrowcasting from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, following the 2015 Miami Device Conference.
We have an unexpected chance to have a whole day to ourselves in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, after an adventure of a weekend trying to get home from Miami Device. But we did find that it is a great opportunity to reflect on the conference and focus on things learned and have a chance to talk about what we've learned.
That's right. In fact, today at breakfast, Shelley, we were talking about things that we, you know, had taken away from the conference and events, and she literally said, maybe we should make a podcast about this. So I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's do that right away. Okay.
I should be careful about what I say.
That's right. So, you know, we don't need to make lots of assumptions because we don't know where people are and what they know about us. So why don't we just briefly tell a little bit about what we're doing professionally with education now, and then we'll do a little bit about Miami Device, and then we'll talk about our takeaways.
Sounds good.
What's your teaching situation now, Shelley?
I'm a third and fourth grade teacher at a school called Positive Tomorrows. We are a private nonprofit for homeless children. We have been one-to-one iPads for the past 2 years. I'm quite proud, actually, of the way that we are integrating our iPads into our education, not only because of its adaptability to help my students who tend to be on multiple grade levels, but also our ability to archive what we're learning and showcase the things that we're doing in the classroom, using it as a tool for active learning.
You want to tell that quick story about Seesaw and Veterans Day video and stuff?
Yeah. So one of my very favorite go-to apps is Seesaw, and we've been using it as a digital portfolio to showcase our making and our creating. It's one of my favorite ways to have my students turn in material to me, showing me what they know.
Instead of opening it in Google Drive, they just put it in a Seesaw.
Exactly.
They can add their voice and text and comments and like it and like each other's.
And I love it because I can comment back to them immediately. So we were on the airplane coming to Miami Device, and I realized that it was Veterans Day and I hadn't left anything, you know, regarding Veterans Day for my students. So I got on my iPad and I started searching Safari and found a really wonderful Veterans Day clip in YouTube. And so I was just quickly able to send that to all of my students to title it and just so that they would have something when they opened up their portfolio to take a look at. I threw it in our classroom community folder in Seesaw. And the really awesome thing that happened, I have one parent. Now remember, I am a school for homeless children, and most of my parents do not have smartphones. And so Seesaw is a great app because it does help you connect with parents. It's very difficult if your parents don't have a smartphone or even access to a computer. So, but I do have one parent. And so I had one parent
who has a smartphone
and who is my only connected parent. I have other mentors that are connected.
Because parents can either get text message alerts or email alerts when something's added to their child's portfolio.
Correct.
In Seesaw.
So I was able to, so she, you know, commented back on that video almost immediately, telling about her student and his papa had been in the, you know, the service, and his aunts and uncles and how proud they were. I mean, it was like I was not only making a connection for my students, to have something for them to connect with Veterans Day, but also making that awesome connection with the parent. And so it really opened up a whole new window for me to be able to share things with my students. I mean, before it was all about students sharing things with me. And so now, you know, it's opened a door. Oh yes. Well, I can share all of these things with my students and everybody gets to see it and they can begin commenting back with me. So it's been, you know, like you had reflective journals when students would write to you and then I would write back to them. And but now Seesaw is becoming that for me. And I mean, it was like my aha, wow moment.
Yeah. Cause it's a community connector.
Exactly.
And it's facilitating connections that wouldn't have happened otherwise. You wouldn't have had that connection with that parent.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm Wes Fryer and I am the director of technology at Cassidy School in Oklahoma City. We are a private independent school of about 900 students, pre-K through 12th grade. And we have a variety of different technology resources at different grade levels. We are not BYOD or one-to-one, but we are excited about many of the ways for using technology. And we've got a great technology team with librarians. And then each of our divisions, we have four different ones, has a lead technology teacher. And so I guess a fast story from my school is maybe a month ago, I had shared Minecraft EDU, might have even been longer than that, because it was this summer when we were refreshing two of our computer labs for language, that I went ahead and ordered licenses for Minecraft EDU, which I've used the last 2 years that I was teaching fourth and fifth grade STEM out in Yukon, Oklahoma, just west of the city. So a month or two ago, I guess, I had shared Minecraft with Glenn Emerson, who is our middle division computer teacher, teaches 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade digital literacy or computer, you know, courses for students. And anyway, just last week, Glenn had the culminating presentations by students. He picked up and used this project that I kind of iterated to do eventually called the Treehouse Challenge. It's a pretty basic perimeter and area challenge where students are asked to, in Minecraft, in a group, build a treehouse that has at least one room with an area of 25 blocks and a corral outside that has a perimeter of 24 blocks. And inside each building area, which Kevin Jarrett, the awesome STEM teacher from New Jersey, shared a couple summers ago, or maybe shared it online, I don't remember. I think he maybe shared it through Twitter first. But it's an area that lets students have their own areas so they don't get into each other's business and knock, you know, each other's stuff down. They are able to do this building, and it's got, chests of resources. And then I created these, two pages of the recipes for how you take, you know, jungle wood and, you know, make, planks out of it. And then from planks, you make sticks and then sticks can make fences and you can make ladders and, you know, all these different things. So it was so awesome to see how excited Glenn was about that, and probably even more exciting to see his students. And he had set up for me on, what was that? Was it last Friday? Or yeah. Not 2 days ago, but the week before, just week before last, a chance to interview three of his, sixth grade girls who had done a great job with their project. And that led to the launching of our Learning Showcase website, which is something I had set up with UConn Schools when I was an instructional coach there. So you can go to showcase.cassady, CASADY.org. And take a look at that interview. And you can also access the Minecraft Treehouse Challenge by going to my STEM website, which is stem.westfryer.com, and then clicking Minecraft EDU in the sidebar, or just Minecraft. So we'll put those links in the show notes. But there we go. There's our introduction. Shelley, tell us a little bit about Miami Device and why would you come back to this conference? You already went one time. Why would you come back this year?
I like your, like, announcing voice. That's fun.
I do lots of voices.
All right, so
I'll try to control myself.
We have been at Miami Vice Device for the past 2 years. The first year that I came, I was still in that new to technology mode, and where I was going to a lot of technology conferences and always left feeling very overwhelmed. There were so many new things.
Well, like
out
the
there.
Google Summit, that's kind of like throwing you under the bus.
Well,
like when we
a
went
little bit.
That
it's
first
just
summer when you went to EdCamp and Fort Worth, but then you went to that. That was an overwhelming Google summit, wasn't it?
We're talking about Miami device, dear.
I know. I was just talking about your progress
We're talking about Miami device.
Sorry. I want
to. So, you know, having a device, in your classroom and then really wanting to use it for teaching purposes and not just consuming purposes, which I think is an easy thing to do for beginners, is to get that iPad out and put them on practice apps or, you know, just apps where they're really not having to think. And I really wanted to.
Well, independent apps where kids are not.
I really wanted to get to the point with our iPads where we were making and creating and we were showing our learning, and that's where I was. And that's where I felt very overwhelmed, because I wanted to do all of these things, but just kind of putting that tool into my toolkit was overwhelming. So, but I was amazed this year at the difference that it's made in just a year, and how now I was going to workshops and things going, okay, I am ready for this next step. I didn't feel so overwhelmed anymore. So whereas some of it wasn't, oh wow, I want to do that. Oh wow, I want to do that. It's like, okay, I've done that. Oh, I didn't know I could use it this way. Or, oh, okay. And it was more about, now I'm in the mode of building classroom culture. So, you know, the device is not the center of what I'm doing anymore. Yes, we use the device, but how can I use that device to better facilitate our classroom culture? You know, how can I work it into doing things together as groups, or working on group projects, so this year, Miami device wasn't so much about using the device, it was more about developing my classroom culture. And oh yeah, you know, the device is there, but it's more about building that classroom culture of respect and learning and trying new things and opening up a new world for students.
We need to do a shout out to Felix Giacomino and his amazing team at the St. Stephen's Day School in Coconut Grove, Florida, for a phenomenal job. It's like, a huge wedding, like wedding planning, as far as just so many different moving parts and moving pieces. Shelly, how would you, and by the way, make plans now, the next Miami device, they'll be skipping a year. So it'll be in 2 years, and it's going to be November 9th and 10th, 2017. So just put that on your calendar right now, miamidevice.org, and plan to be there. There are only about 350 participants, which makes it a very, you know, intimate feeling conference. Shelly, how would you tell people who haven't been what Miami Device is like versus ISTE, versus state level tech conference, like, you know, OTA, like a, you know, A-plus schools conference? There's all these different things you've been to. How's Miami Device different?
All of those are different. You go to different conferences for different reasons, you know. Miami Device like you said, a small conference. And it's more like a family reunion. You know, there's a lot of people that we go and we look forward to seeing, people that come from all over the world. I love, seeing Jenny Ashby, you know, from Australia, I'm going to go into my Australian accent just thinking about her.
Ooh, I didn't know you had that.
I don't. I just make it up. But you know, see, and then Rodney Turner, you know, who has such a great smile and is so friendly.
Techie Turner.
It's great to see
him. And let's do another shout out, because some of this connection is because of Tony Vincent, the Arizona K-12 Center, and mobile learning, because
Absolutely.
We've been to the mobile learning experience twice. Have we been there twice together? I've been three times, but yeah. So that was your first time to go this year.
Right. So it's one of those kind of conferences where you know you're going to go and you know you're going to see people you know. But also, like, there was a huge amount of teachers from Texas this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, I'm from Texas. And so that was really awesome is going. And yeah. So
Dripping Springs, McGregor, like, yeah. One school brought like 10 teachers, brought a whole team.
So it's where you're going to go and you're actually going to meet and talk to people and get to know people, versus at ISTE where you're just in a mass of people and it's not just really personable.
It's,
you know,
possible.
I love them for both things. You get great ideas, but I'm the kind of person that I'd much rather go and make connections with people, get to know people, visit people. It's a conference you could easily come by yourself and then leave thinking, yeah, I've made some new friends. and connected with some people. I think one of my favorite things is following people on Twitter and then getting to know them that way and then actually getting to meet them in person. And I know that a lot of people look forward to that.
Because really, Felix does a better job, I think, than anyone of encouraging folks to be connected educators.
Exactly.
I had a chance to write a long blog post yesterday.
It's a novel.
Yeah, which I'll link in the show notes. You know, and the first thing I put in there media-wise was a video that I recorded in January last year. Felix and I went to my hometown in Manhattan, Kansas, and he shared the closing keynote at this district conference, and he had rewritten Do You Want to Build a Snowman as Do You Want to Be Connected. He performed it and sang it on the piano, but he had a connected or synchronized PowerPoint, or keynote, I guess, with video from other people singing other stanzas. It was unbelievable. But Felix just encourages the connecting, and that is so important because that is every bit as much or more impactful than the face-to-face connecting at the
Well, and I conference. Think that is now a common theme at conferences is that, you know, you still have, like, I started using Twitter maybe a year ago and didn't understand what that meant. I started using it maybe 2 years ago. But really starting making it a part of what I do a year ago. And I'm still, you know, I think teachers have a hard time wrapping their mind around that. I see more tech directors and people like that understanding what that means, but just for the regular ed classroom teacher. But I think that the message is now is that you matter. Angela Mathers did such a great job of, you know, making that her message is that you matter and your ideas matter. And even the classroom teacher that just did an awesome pilgrim lesson, I mean, that matters. And I think a lot of times we don't pat ourselves on the back enough. It's not so much, I guess, maybe it's not patting ourselves back, but
telling your story. Sharing what you're doing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Tell your story. Share what you're doing. People do care. They do want to see what is happening in your classroom. And so it's about communicating that way. But also, when you start sharing things on Twitter, then you start following connected educators. Then you begin seeing what other people are doing in their classrooms. And you think, okay, well, I can do that. Or I never thought about using, you know, sketch that way, or I never thought about sharing the pictures that we just did in art. I mean, I'm a visual person. I love taking pictures of the artwork that my students do in the classroom and then just sharing that, because I think pictures, you know, are 1,000 words. And I get great ideas. Like, some people are on Pinterest. You know, a lot of classroom teachers don't think anything about being on Pinterest and looking at pictures. Twitter is a lot and can be like that too.
Of course, I think it's more powerful because of the direct messaging and the ability to bring people into conversations and, you know, the ways that we have these distributed chats, not just a Twitter chat over a hashtag, but, you know,
well, and I think that's second level stuff. For the beginning person using Twitter, just, knowing that what you're doing in the classroom does matter and joining that way. I tend to be a lurker. I've tried Twitter chats before and I am good to follow them, but it is a little harder for me to jump into a stream. But what I use it, like, once I know educators that are doing the things like a Tony Vincent or a Vicki Davis or an Aaron Klein, and those are all people that have great practical ways of using technology in the classroom, then I follow those people and then I get ideas from that. So I think you have to jump in there and start sharing and then start learning and then start lurking. And I think maybe participating in the Twitter chats comes a little later.
So maybe that's something you could think about sharing. We were talking earlier today about sessions or ideas for things that you might want to share at a conference. Maybe just that story about, you know, what you found, the path you followed and what
you... Well, and what is that app? Tweech Me?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Susan
Bearden, yeah.
Yeah, Susan Bearden has a great app, and it's a beginner way of starting in, and it's a whole app that kind of gets you going.
With videos,
that.
Yeah.
And with videos, and I love that. Tweech Me, that whole idea about just starting from the beginning.
Because it is important what we recommend to people, and it's It's kind of like any sort of advanced thing. If you have five levels and you're telling people to do a level four, level five thing,
and they're not ready.
And they're not ready? That just might turn them off.
Well, so. And I had a conversation with somebody standing in line waiting to get the fabulous food. And he is a...
At Miami Device.
Yes, at Miami Device. He's a director. He's a principal of a 600-student private school. It's a Montessori school. And you know, he was saying, well, I can't get my mind wrapped around this Twitter thing. And I said, well, I said, make it just for yourself. I said, you know, I add notes to myself into Twitter, things that I want to remember, you know,
definitely.
I mean, things like I learned about an app called Seesaw today and that, and then I hashtag it, you know, whatever.
Miami Device.
Miami Device. That way, and I was telling him you can go in and just search for Miami Device and you can get that. And so that opened up, he had never thought about using it to even communicate and take notes for himself.
Jason Neifer calls this creating an information trap. We all need traps for information. Some folks have used, and I did, use Delicious and Digo as social bookmarking tools. We need ways to, I think of it as digital breadcrumbs, you know, it's like Hansel and Gretel through the forest. You leave breadcrumbs for yourself so you can go back and find things later. And you set yourself up with a pattern of saving, you know, so that you can do that. So anyway, that's good stuff. All right. Well, let's talk about takeaways from Miami Device. You already mentioned Angela Myers. Tell a little bit about that, her and what you learned, because you talked about this 252, and being intentional about how you're awesome. You went to her breakout as well as you saw her keynote.
Yeah, so. I don't think anybody would, you know, culture and classroom culture and building relationships with kids is really the way that we are going to revolutionize education. I mean, there is no question that that is, that kids matter, that we matter. And I loved, and I keep saying that because to me, I want to keep reminding myself.
And that's a hashtag, you
her
matter.
Her message was, you matter. And I think we need to be very intentional. Another presenter that I did see at ISTE in Philadelphia, the English teacher who was working with the students, and student voice, sharing student voices,
we're talking about the slam, the poetry slam?
Yeah, the poetry slam.
The Philadelphia,
I can't remember his name. You look it up while I talk.
Okay.
So anyway, we have got to be intentional about building relationships with people, and especially classroom teachers have got to be intentional about building culture and relationship with students. And she talked about, you know, 252. You know, the first 20 seconds that you spend with somebody can make a difference in their lives. Looking at somebody, using their name, you know, greeting them, and so, you know, doing that, and I think good teachers naturally do that, but, you know, I think also good teachers get distracted. Sometimes I get distracted with putting my schedule up on the board or writing out that last minute.
Matt Kay, was that right?
Matt Kay, teacher in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked about that as well, about how important it is, you know, to take those moments right at the beginning of the day.
New Voices, the Philadelphia Youth Poetry Movement. We reflected on that from ISTE, actually. We'll link this in the show notes.
Yeah, I think that was a big takeaway for me there, too. But Angela, you know, was talking about that first 20 seconds of the day, whether it's 20 seconds, 2 minutes, I don't know, it was two something. But that was your first foray. And then also having a time, whether it's 5 minutes or whatever the five is, but that middle time where you spend intentionally, you know, talking to somebody. How was your day? I saw that you were awesome. I saw that you were doing awesome work and being kind, but making sure that every student has that opportunity to have some one-on-one time with the teacher. She talked about even putting lists like, here are my Monday kids and here are my Tuesday kids and my Wednesday kids, and, you know, making sure that she was getting to every kid and just giving them their special time with the teacher to tell them about their awesomeness and how awesome they are. And then also how important it is at the end of the day, at the closing of the day, is to have that time to give a child a hug or to tell them what a, you know, great job they did today, or don't worry, tomorrow is going to be better, you know, but capstoning that end of the day, again, intentionally making sure, and that in itself can change can show a student that they do matter and that they are there and that they are present. And so that was huge. I love her message of you matter, and talking about you, the teacher, you matter in that child's life, and that you need to show them that they matter. And I think all kids need that. All kids, all people need that. It's a matter of coming in your building first thing in the morning and greeting the people in your building. I miss the mornings when I get to walk in and I know that Susan is going to be in her classroom and she's going to be, you know, sitting at her desk ready to go. And I can say, good morning, Susan. You know, that is a big part of my day and I miss it when I'm not there.
Well, there's such little interaction that you do have that we typically have, all teachers, with other teachers. I mean, I treasure so much the first year I was back teaching at Independence. I got to have lunch with Sue Hoagie and with, you know, with, just, I don't know. That was a huge part of my whole experience that year. And it made a big difference being able to build that relationship over time. And even though you didn't spend really that much time together, when you spend virtually no time with, you know, with other teachers during the day and you're with the kids all the time.
I'm amazed at how isolating just being in a classroom can be. I mean, we have four teachers in our building and it's a very, very small space and small school. And there is a teacher that I can go days without ever seeing.
And you only have three others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Let's talk about John Spencer. I'll go first and then let you go.
Yeah, because I talk a lot.
You do, but it's good. And do you know what I realized this morning?
What?
You are my seedlings.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So seedlings are Bob Sprankle, Alice Barr, and Cheryl Oakes.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But nobody else is going to know that. That just sounds weird.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's a shout out. If you know who Bob Sprankle, Alice Barr, and Cheryl Oakes are in the Seedlings podcast, you need to tweet Shelley Fryer at S. Fryer and say, I know those awesome
names. Look, somebody's already tweeted me. No.
No, this isn't live, so they're not doing that.
Okay.
But anyway, they've had such a wonderful, you know, community of being able to share a network.
Okay, you were going to talk about John Spencer.
I was going to talk about John Spencer. All right, so if you don't follow John Spencer, you can add him to your list of
gurus.
Great connected educators to follow. His Twitter ID is Spencer Ideas. And John, here's another connection from mobile learning, because he's been in Arizona for, I don't know, maybe forever, for years, middle school teacher, and just this last year moved to the Pacific Northwest and made the switch to teach university, pre-service teachers. And that Chelly was asking today, thinking about Miami Device, where were the, you know, university people, where are they? And I said, well, John Spencer was here. You know, and why aren't there more university professors here at this, you know, Miami Device and this kind of conference? It's one of the reasons why I feel so centered, you know, being in this community of learning, sharing, and growing, because we do need to have more of that. Yep, that's him.
See, I wasn't even following you, John, so now I am.
That's right. Okay, there you go. Shelley just followed him. So anyway, John is just a very, very passionate and thoughtful teacher. He has worked in different capacities in his life in urban settings, both, you know, as far as from a social services standpoint and education standpoint. And his session was about assessment, and it was like, you know, things you can apply right now quickly for assessment. I think I tweeted that sitting in his session was better than sitting in like a graduate doctoral class or something. It was so practical and so packed with information. John, unique to all the other Miami Device sessions I saw, and very unique overall, has done a very neat thing where he has got a kit, and it's, I think it's called an assessment kit on his website. It works through something called Gumroad, and he says it's free. You don't have to, you know, give me anything. But it has a thing when you download, you know, do you want to give a gift or, you know, a lot of people just do zero. Some people do give him, you know, a little donation.
Hey, we'd use teacher pay teachers.
That's right. I'm going to make a donation to John when I download it.
I'll just say
go on the record. What's so great. Okay. He was talking about Well, it reminded me of the counseling stuff, actually, we talked about recently, because it was part of, I volunteered for this part to get up, was modeling a peer conference for feedback on student, you know, on anything that students were doing and creating. And so there were roles for each of the students to take. And the way we had heard about this, you know, from a sort of marriage counseling standpoint is that you have, so one person's the receiver. What's the other person
you
called?
Had to
the
do
talker.
Listening.
Yeah. It's about
listening.
Having different roles where one person, you know, isn't judging, isn't critiquing, you know, they ask questions, but then the other person, you know, is answering and there's a time for feedback. But then he had a time for silent writing. It was a lot to try to digest in a setting, but that's what's so great about him having this free kit online, which is a downloadable, you know, file that has, I loved what he said too about it was in PowerPoint and the way you would, or it was in Keynote and the way you'd open that in PowerPoint is you'd have to get a Mac. but anyway.
That's not funny to a lot of people.
Okay, maybe not. I thought it was funny.
A lot of teachers have Macs now. We understand.
I know. That's true. Well, you have a Chromebook though, so.
I do. I love my Chromebook.
All right. So John just, shared really good ideas and I know that there's so much stress and pressure to move forward in the curriculum and we don't have time for this. And I have certainly been guilty many times of skipping the reflective step of a lesson.
Yes.
Last year I was proud of this moment. Okay. This was actually the treehouse challenge and I had my kids, we took screenshots of their treehouses. And this was the time I taught how to make a narrated slideshow using Explain Everything. And I had a very basic storyboard, three slides, but the kids had to explain what they had done, their process, and then reflect on what they learned and what they would do differently. I mean, it's so, at one level, basic, but it's also so easy to skip. So that was phenomenal. I love being able to go to sessions and, I got to go to I got to go to all the keynotes, which were great. There were four keynotes, by the way, at Miami Device. Adam Bellows started and he had done this at Mobile Learning, but he used, I'll just talk about that later, the Tickle app. Anyway, he landed a drone. He flew a drone out, that he programmed over the audience.
How long is this gonna go? How much later do we have?
We talking about today, right now?
Yeah.
You want to go see your movie?
Keep talking, Wes.
Okay, yeah. We've been going 30 minutes. We won't go more than 30 more minutes. We don't have to go that long either. Are you done? Okay, well, no, well, people can turn this off at any time and okay. They can come back. So, no, we'll go another 20 or 30 minutes, but we will not go longer than an hour. Am I talking too long?
No, go
Are
ahead.
You bored?
No, I'm not bored. I'm cruising Twitter.
All right. Why don't you talk about John Spencer? What did you take from John Spencer's session, Shelley?
Well, I think, again, it goes back to building classroom culture. I think teachers, I mean, the conversation is, how do we impact education? What are we going to do to improve education in our schools? And I think, you know, for too long, we've used the test or the Common Core, all of these as excuses for why, you know, school is not working. And I think we've gotten away from the stuff that we know does work. And that's relationship with our classroom, relationship with each other, teaching empathy, teaching kids how to listen to each other, providing opportunities for them to work together and then process things. And I think John, you know, did that on a whole other level. If we're talking assessment, then how are we going to assess these things? And John did a great job of having different rubrics and activities that can help us assess these activities that we're doing in the classroom, but also have an assessment to go with it. Assessment is not a negative, bad word. It's something we need to be doing all the time, but we need to do that in a way that is student-centered, student-focused, and allows for collaboration and communication. And that's what John's...
In the session, we were talking about Google Forms and he had us brainstorm a question that we could just ask students like during an activity to get feedback to be helpful. So, you know, asking yes or no questions about, you know, is everyone in your group being able to contribute? You know, or are you feeling confused about, you know, basically things that you could see really quick, like, oh gosh, look, such and such group is having trouble, you know, or such and such, you know, I need to go over here, because many of those things, well, some of those things you can be aware of yourself, but sometimes things are happening in groups that you don't know. And so that was extremely helpful. Okay.
So I think just realizing, and I think a lot of teachers do this naturally, but they don't know why they're doing it, or they don't have ways of showing that to somebody else. And I think that's the key too, is that we all ask these questions and get these focused, but then we're the only ones. I mean, how do you record that? How does that become a part of a child's assessment? And I think by getting them to reflect on a blog and then having that as your assessment tool, getting them to reflect on each other's learning and critiquing each other, you know, is a part of. So it's really, how do you begin to use these tools that I think all of us are doing, but how do we show that as an assessment tool? And I think there is a challenge in that. But again, it goes back to being intentional and then knowing what you're going to do with that information. And I think Google Forms is a great way to do that. I have to say, I know how to do a Google Form, and I've been taught this many times. I have yet to actually do one with my students.
Maybe that should be a goal then.
It should, because I've heard that.
Before Christmas,
done that.
Do one.
Yeah.
Well, I am thinking about channels, and this, you know, next, this is yet to be completely put together, but No Miami Device next November. However, the plan is to have a digital sharing conference the first Friday and Saturday of November in Oklahoma City, hosted at Cassie School. I've got approval for us to host that, and I've got to do some work putting things together and figuring out who to work with. I want to partner with an organization. Tony does a great job, you know, partnering with Arizona K-12, and I'm going to be talking to several.
I have an idea.
Okay, what is it?
I think you need to partner with OU and Ann Beck.
Okay.
And that's part of what they're trying to do. They're working with pre-service teachers,
right.
But
they're already on that journey.
They're already on that journey. Jump in with them. That's
okay.
All right, Ann, we'll be talking to you later.
Okay. So, I'm going to ask you just in just a minute, Shelley, about geomaps.
Okay, good.
If you want to be
thinking about that.
Exactly. And I will, while you're surfing Twitter. See, you're just like a kid.
Oh, but did you see, shout out to, Carl Hooker. He did some sketchnoting of the, how do you say that?
Veridicinium?
Yeah, of that keynote in that session. And it really is cool. He did a great job. And I'm looking at it going, oh yeah, I remember that part. Oh yeah, I know what that means.
Visual notes.
Thanks, Carl Hooker, for your visual notes, because
we'll link that in the show notes.
Not that he's going to listen to this, but.
No, I will tweet him and say, Shelley loves you. Listen to her. Extol your skills. I have many crushes on many people that are presenters, so Carl is awesome. Like, he's the master of ceremonies.
He is.
Of course, I told Shelley before she heard George Kuros, I said, you are going to want to marry him, but you can't because he just got married, and that's
and
not
you're married
work.
To me.
Yeah. But he is there.
People
was,
are going to think you're weird, Wes.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I am weird. No, there's awesome people that are just so passionate and so, inspirational.
Very inspirational. And I think authentic, you know, he is one of those authentic, you can see his heart through the way he talks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think definitely that resonates.
He uses humor in much the same way Kevin Honeycutt can. George Kuros is able to sort of both make you laugh and cry right beside each other, you know, where he juxtaposes humor and then really serious messages.
Mm-hmm.
And that your brain is open to receive mm-hmm. stuff when you're laughing. And then you're like, oh my gosh, that's such a touching story.
Well, it's when you communicate with somebody and you touch their heart.
Yes.
You know, that's what really makes a difference, is when
yes.
you are able to
not just touch the mind, but touch the heart.
Yeah, touch the heart. And I think teachers, we're in this profession because of our hearts. I think you can't be in the teaching profession without having a heart for children mm-hmm. and a heart for for wanting to love kids and teach kids. And I think he's natural at that, is touching your heart.
Well, and a shout out, he just has published a new book, George Kuros has, called The Innovator's Mindset. You've probably heard of Carol Dweck and her book about mindset. Our whole faculty did that as a book study over the summer, and it is good, but, The Innovator's Mindset. Check it out. Before I ask Shelley about GeoMaps, I want to give a shout out to Charlie Mahoney. Charlie, fantastic educator, got to know him when he was working at the Turning Point Learning Center in Emporia, Kansas with Ginger Lumen, and they were just kind of reinventing education in just an amazing charter school that lasted, sadly, only 3 or 4 years. Charlie got to tell part of the story of how they redesigned their classrooms. He has a great session. I did audio podcast 3 sessions at Miami Device and got those published. Find those on Fuel for Educational Change Agents, which is audio.speedofcreativity.org. And Charlie's session was really great. We got to, you know, see some of what his kids made in Tinkercad. We just played with Tinkercad Saturday before last at a play date that we helped organize in Oklahoma City, about 3D printing and digital design. It was the first time either of us had designed anything. We both printed stuff on a 3D printer. We made little, keychains. But anyway, really, really inspiring to hear from Charlie. And then I also want to specifically tell you that he shared this 4-part series about Elon Musk. So people are all about Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs was, you know, an amazing guy. He was a very rude person at times too. But he, you know, sometimes we go over the top with idolizing, you know, people, and we're all humans. But, but there are people that sort of set the bar, you know, move the bar a little bit, and certainly, Elon Musk is in one of those categories. So the website is called Wait But Why, waitbutwhy.com, and there's a 4-part series on Elon Musk, and I'm finished the first one and I'm about halfway through the second one. So, what, you don't want me to talk about that?
No, talk about that. I'm reading something else on Twitter.
Okay. So I'll link that in the show notes. Why is this a big deal? Elon Musk, who founded PayPal, made his first $22 million that way, and then has gone to invest in other things, is absolutely for real tackling some of the biggest issues facing our planet, which includes sustainable energy. So with Tesla and Solar City, you know, trying to move our dependency on fossil fuels, which impacts climate change, gigantic issue. Also dealing with, it sounds like science fiction, interplanetary travel. They're working on a rocket right now with SpaceX to send 100 people at once to Mars. And I'm not going to say this exactly right. There's something called the Fermi dilemma. Basically, it's saying, look, is intelligent life in the universe extremely common, and there's some kind of big filter that's been keeping us from, you know, being aware globally about it, or is it, are we extremely rare and extremely unique? And what Musk said in one of these interviews was, you know, either way, we need to take action. If we are so rare in the whole universe, you know, we need to make sure that we can move out to other planets and, you know, colonize parts of space. And anyway, it's something that's troubling to him. Also, artificial intelligence and, you know, things that he said. The quote I just read was that he thinks trying to create the super artificial intelligence, is like summoning the demon. Both he and Bill Gates are really concerned about AI. So anyway, sometimes when you go to a conference, I've found a book that somebody recommends, a person that you follow, or, you know, in this case, a series of blog posts. I mean, that can be huge because you end up, you know, reading those things over time and they influence you. So check that out. Waitbutwhy.com. Thanks to Charlie Mahoney, the Elon Musk 4-part blog post series. All right. You are just all over Twitter.
All right. I'm not liking that one.
Okay. Well, maybe. All right. Talk about GeoMaps. You went to a GeoMap session.
I did. I don't usually go to Wes's sessions because I can usually get that information from the source at the time, but I did go to this one because I had been to one previously, Google Maps, and I know Wes is very passionate about maps and social studies and geography and all of those. So I went to his session, and I was really impressed. Google Maps has gotten a lot easier.
Well, it's integrated into Google Drive now.
Right. And so I had been working on some projects. Social studies, I'm passionate about science, and I love reading and math, but social studies is one of those things where I don't get as excited about it. I like it.
News-O-Matic has helped.
Yeah, definitely News-O-Matic has helped. But anyway, so went to this session, and it really opened up a lot of neat ideas that I could do with Google Maps, and it has become, I think News-O-Matic has opened that up and made it real time, for my students.
Tell what News-O-Matic is.
News-O-Matic is a daily newspaper for kids. It is a free app. There is a fee if you want to join as a News-O-Matic educators, and that allows you to adjust Lexile levels and set up classrooms and do that. But it is a daily newspaper for kids, and it pulls in current events and things that are going on, not only in science and world events, but also, you know, fashion and music and
kind of like USA Today. There's all these different sections, but it's all written for kids.
It's all written for kids, and now sometimes by kids. And it's very interactive in that it has an editor, Russ, and you can, you know, write to the editor, and you can have the students reflect on what they're reading. And for those students that aren't reading and prefer drawing, you can draw a picture, and they're just really great at communicating and connecting with kids about current events and current things. One of the recent articles that my students, several of them, got really excited about was Coco's Kitten. And I think, you know, a lot of people have read that book about Coco, and she is the gorilla that they've taught to communicate using sign language. Well, Coco was having a birthday, and then they got her some new kittens for her birthday, and a lot of my students got really excited about that. Also, another recent article that my students got really excited about was the meteor that was passing by Earth, Halloween, Earth. And so that was really fun. But
how does
my students
connect to the GeoMaps?
Well, because within the News-O-Matic app, and you're reading about Syria and what's going on in Syria, and it has you be able to go there and then shows the students on a map, and you get on the plane and it flies across, you know? And I think connecting kids to maps, and kids love playing with globes, and so I think being a little more intentional about pulling those features into lessons, like, you know, we've been, of course, it's Thanksgiving, and we've been talking about the Puritans and the Pilgrims and leaving Europe and coming to Plymouth. And, you know, that's the map I was working on, is setting that up. But not just this map that you draw and color on yourself, but making it interactive. So being able to put in a link of a video of the Puritans' voyage, and being able to put in a link of a picture of what the Mayflower really looks like, and being able to pull in. I mean, I use PBS resources a lot because they have such awesome resources and videos and ways to connect.
So, PBS Learning Media.
PBS Learning Media. And so pulling in some of that PBS resources and putting it in a geo map so that it becomes this experience for kids, and it makes it relevant for kids when they can actually see that and experience that. And of course, I did all the work on that one, but now what I need to do is turn that around and teach the kids.
Maybe we need to make a single Google account for your kids to use as a class account, and then they can build and make those things. And then maybe maybe you need to plant that seed about Google Apps to say, even though we're small, you guys need to go Google Apps, because that will open up a lot of other possibilities, just like that, where your kids could make their own maps.
Yeah. So anyway, again, it's when you hear something over and over again, but just being able to sit down, and it was a workshop. I liked going to a workshop
model.
It was 2 hours instead of 1 hour. So instead of just being told all of these ideas, we had an opportunity to actually get to use the tool. And I like going to those.
You gave good feedback to help us make sure we did that, because sometimes I fall trap or play into presenting too much, so. All right. So two other things I want to do as a shout out, and then I think we're going to have to wrap up. We'll actually, I'm recording this on a new app. It's called Ferrite, F-E-R-R-I-T-E. It is a free app for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. And shout out to Joe Dale in the Isle of Wight for, he is just such a fantastic source of all things mobile iOS for audio. And what I really like about it, I've been using this old iTalk recorder app, but you have to be on a compatible Wi-Fi network, which hotels, as we are right now, they tend to have those ports and stuff blocked that you can't wirelessly transfer, and I was having trouble even using iTunes when I plugged it in. So Ferrite has a lot of features, but it lets you record in the free version up to an hour, and then you can open in another app. So after we finish this, I'm going to say open in Google Drive, and I'll save this audio file out to Google Drive, and then I'll grab it on my laptop to edit it. So I wanted to do a shout-out to Carl Hooker, who we've already mentioned, but I went to his session on Raised by Siri, Parenting in the Digital Generation or something. Parenting the Digital Generation. And Carl is the godfather of iPad Palooza, a conference I've been to once and we may go to this summer. We'll have to try to look at our schedule and not fill it so full with professional development. But he's the director of technology at EANS ISD in Austin, and they've been doing fantastic things around digital citizenship, digital footprint, internet safety. And so he has a whole iTunes U course that he actually, you know, teaches interactively that people can participate in. I think that'll happen again in the spring, but that's available online. Just great resources. And so I have the audio recording of that session, but also at South by Southwest EDU, the full hour-long video is available. That's on his website. So it was great. And then I think my last thing, and then see if you have one last thing too, and we'll be done, was the Tickle app. I mentioned this briefly, but Adam Bello, who was our opening keynote and did just a great job, he's always amazing, helping you laugh and reflect on the past and then also, you know, think about tools and ways we can be using these devices and apps with our kids. Used this app called Tickle app, and Jenny Ashby did as well. And what I didn't know, what was this thing called? I thought it was just a drone that had wheels. Is it the Spider, I think? But it also has propellers and it flies. He was able to fly this from the stage out over the audience and then back and land in his hand. And so, the last 2 years teaching STEM, last year I had a maker studio with 5 different centers that rotated, and one of those involves Spheros and kids driving Spheros. But boy, there was challenges with battery because a Sphero will not last all day long on a charge. So we had 4, and we would have kind of 2 for the morning and 2 for the afternoon. I'm sure the drone would be even harder as far as like classes and multiple, you know, groups coming in. So maybe there's a way to swap batteries and have charge packs or something like that. But it was inspirational and great. And that's one of my to-dos is I'm going to, investigate getting one of those drones, which are not like $300. It's more affordable, and then see about doing that.
I think your school ought to buy it for you.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yes. Good. For STEM club. Because we had our first 8-week STEM club for third and fourth graders this semester that was successful. But there's, you know, other things that we want to explore. So we won't talk in detail about Kansas, but, Shelley, do you want to tell people a little bit about what we'll be doing in January when we go up to Kansas State, and if anybody can, why they might want to join us for that day? Nope. We're going to go talk for Cindy's.
I know.
I didn't set you up for that.
I'm trying to see how I was going to add it in.
How are you going to say that?
All right. The one thing I love, Cindy Danner-Kuhn is working with pre-service teachers, and I think it's an extremely valuable thing that she's doing, but she's getting those teachers into Twitter and into blogging and into reflecting digitally in classrooms. And I'm pretty excited that these teachers, pre-service teachers, are going to be well-equipped when they go into the classroom. You know, there are a lot of things that they're going to face as they get into their classrooms, and But I think being able to have a lot of these tools in their tool belt already is going to be very impactful. In fact, knowing that these students are reading my blog, which I very infrequently blog, is encouraging me to write more about what I'm doing in the classroom and the, you know, I teach in a high poverty school, and a lot of teachers, especially beginning teachers, will be going into schools that are high poverty inner city schools. And I think it's important that they have a window into that environment that they're going to be going into. And so I am excited to get to talk to these pre-service teachers and answer their questions and share, my learning, because I'm very passionate about, opening up doors and windows, for not only the students in my classroom, but also students, pre-service teachers that will be going as teachers into these classrooms.
We should go visit Ms. Regalado and see if we could help
Absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely. A good friend of mine got Teacher of the Year in her building, and she is a, you know, an awesome teacher in a very difficult situation,
tough
but making
school.
Big impact in the lives of her students.
Well, right.
So she matters. And
we could interview her for a podcast.
I think that would be awesome.
But also see if we could help her get maybe a class blog set up or see what, mm-hmm. what are they doing with technology. All right. Well, thank you all so much. If you've stuck with us, we have, we're going to wrap this up. Shelley, how can people connect with you online if they want to? What are your digital spaces?
My classroom webpage is classroom.shelleyfryer.com. That's really where I pretty much showcase what we're doing in the classroom. It's not fancy, but it's where I, my students go, and they use it as their home base. And so it's a pretty good reflection of who we are and what we're doing. Also, I'm at S Fryer on Twitter. So
yep.
those
and
are
your
probably
blog,
the two best ways.
Every once in a while with a new post on ShelleyFryer.com.
Yeah, ShelleyFryer.com.
So I'm Wes Fryer, W Fryer on Twitter. My blog is speedofcreativity.org, and you're probably listening to this there. Also definitely check out the Fuel for Educational Change Agents. It's a supplementary podcast channel with no edit or lightly edited podcasts at audio.speedofcreativity.org. Check out Miami Device, miamidevice.org. Also the hashtag Miami Device. I put together a storify of tweets from Miami Device that I had shared or retweeted, and you can check out that post as well. You can follow, we're both on YouTube. Your YouTube is linked from your classroom website. I'm W. Fryer on YouTube.
Speaking of teachers, I just, Megan Street is one of those students in,
Cindy's class. Yeah. At Kansas State University, pre-service teacher.
Yeah, so thank you, Megan, for, reading my blog and saying such great things about it. And you have encouraged me to continue writing, because it's not something I enjoy doing. And so, but I'm going to share just for you and just for this class. So thank you, Megan.
You matter, Megan.
You matter, Megan.
That's right. You matter, Cindy. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Please do tweet us if you listened to this. It was kind of cool. I asked for shout outs on the last podcast, and several people did. And like people in Australia and other places. It's crazy. So we are continuing our learning journey together. We need some kind of like clever way to end this on the Clockwise podcast exist. And remember, keep watching the clock or something. What are we going to say? We need some kind of clever thing to think of.
And remember, no, that would be Angela's. I was going to say you matter, but that's kind of Angela's.
She'll let you say that.
And remember, you matter.
That's right. Have a great day.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcasts are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution only license. Learn more at www.speedcreativity.org.